I want to share something with you that will move your problem out of the way today. All of your problems. And that problem, the number one problem, is Y-O-U. And how to move that Y-O-U mountain out of the way. Amen? And when that mountain moves, the Spirit of the Lord breaks forth into singing. The river of God is held back by things that we cannot see. And God is going to break a fountain open in His people in this last hour. And I've discovered some very powerful, powerful weaponry that can move those things out. Amen? So my first disclaimer is I'm a work in progress. Amen? I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 10. This is the greatest secret is all the scriptures on resurrection and right hand of God. What I'm going to share with you is just as powerful. What the resurrection and the right hand of God, dwelling in the Father, dwelling in the lily's grace, dwelling in the tree of life, dwelling in the gate, dwelling in the door, dwelling upon the 12 stones. What all that glory is to your spirit, what I'm going to share to you today, the other side. But the power that I have found over these last couple of weeks that culminated yesterday, all day yesterday. But the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me that there's a necessity to understand these operations. The body of Christ, the remnant body, the bridal company must be brought into this, the fullness of it. There are things that standard operating procedure church won't deal with. There are things that laying on the hands won't deal with. There are levels that only the Lord can go into. He's the only one that can, and He's the only one qualified, and when He does it, it's thorough. Praise God. But the freedom, the liberty, the fullness, the glory, the presence that comes out of this operation, bar none, it's everything you want. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You're not going to find them in this jurisdiction. You're not going to be able to move strongholds with carnal weaponry. Carnal weaponry can only go so far. But the weapons of our warfare are highly advanced, incredibly powerful. He says, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. And so many want to seek to pull down strongholds in cities, but you cannot pull a strong down in a city if you can't pull the one down inside. More importantly, it's very, very, very difficult to even see the depth of the human heart. You can only see what God wants you to see. Trust me. If you could see the depth of the human heart, it's very, very deep. It's like an ocean down in there. It's highly layered. Years and years and years of layering. And when God peels the layers back, He doesn't want you seeing everything because He doesn't fellowship with your weaknesses. You can write that down. God doesn't fellowship with your weaknesses. He fellowships with you, with your new man. But there's a time in your life He'll address the weaknesses. He'll address the strongholds. He says, weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I'm going to give you a definition of stronghold. Strongholds. Okay, so here's the definition of stronghold or holds. Systems of thoughts empowered by emotions that produce actions, reactions, and behavior patterns that are contrary to the mind and nature of Christ. Let's say it again. Systems of thoughts empowered by emotions that produce actions, reactions, and behavior patterns that are contrary to the mind and nature of Christ. Some of these are minor, some are major, some are very hidden and secluded. You can't see them, but they are producing reactionary mechanisms within your life that govern a lot of the part of your life. The deeper ones, you can't hardly see with the present light that any of us have. You have to be brought into a light that's not of this world. To do that, you have to be positioned with Him. I don't know exactly what causes that to engage what I'm going to talk to you about today, but it has something to do with you following Him with everything that's in you. You begin to move into levels and follow Him and follow Him and follow Him. And all of a sudden, your life has been brought into accountability. There's certain things in your life that get brought into accountability that before weren't into accountability. Amen? And when they brought into accountability, He will step in and move them out. And when He moves it out, He's not moving things out at a surface level. He goes incredibly deep, wide, all the above. And He's incredibly thorough with it. I'm going to show you the word that describes His operations. One of the things I want to say about these strongholds, they are in the way. The Bible says that word is a hammer in Jeremiah that breaks the rock in pieces. There are rocks upon your well. Sometimes we have a capped well. We can get into church, we can get a certain anointings, we can be free, but most time we're not free. We're not living in a level of freedom. We're living in a lot of different things that are governed by strongholds, and a lot of times we can't really see what is the root of those. We're only seeing fruits, and a lot of times what we end up doing is fighting the fruit tree. How many of you ever tried to pluck the fruit tree? And you pluck the fruit tree, and all of a sudden next month all the fruit's back there because you can't hardly see what's all behind the fruit tree. You can't see what's in the root until He shows it to you. Amen? And another thing I want to say about this is these areas of our life we're very familiar with. So our thoughts and our emotions are very familiar. So the attitudes of our heart, we're very familiar with what we do. And a lot of times we don't have even a lot of a conviction in the area because we're so familiar with it. We've just done it and the conviction's not there. And that's okay when you're a babe. You know, that's okay when you're 5 years old, 10 years old, but there's certain levels we get to that it's no longer okay. But when He begins to address, but the problem with these things is they are in the way of your promotion, because the word of the Lord that was spoken this morning is, I'm going to uncap the well and remove the rocks. The word of the Lord's also spoken was the promotion. You can't be promoted without the level of transformation necessary for promotion. Promotion itself causes you to go to a new level. New level, new devil, new target, you know, that kind of thing. God protects you. A babe is not going to be assigned the same kind of warfare. It's not going to be allowed to have the kind of warfare as a full-age adult. Amen? And so what happens is God has a tremendous amount of grace in every area of our life. And if you have a stronghold, say, what is my stronghold? It's probably what you deal with on a regular basis. The issues that you deal, a reoccurring issue, a constantly reoccurring issue in your life, that's a stronghold. But here's the problem. The way you see it is a lot of times is not, you're not looking at the root of it. You're looking only at the fruit of it. You don't know what's causing that reaction or that behavior pattern or that problem, that sin or that shortcoming. You don't know what's actually manifesting that because there's something deeper you can't see. And so all we're doing is dealing with it at a surface level. And we deal at a surface level, we're not fully going to be free until He goes in and breaks the rock. He removes the tree. That's why He said, if any man have faith in God, if you have faith in God, you could say unto the mountain, be thou removed, cast in the sea. So many of the mountains that really need to be moved are the ones within, but the ones you can't see. And when those are moved, it's very easy to move other mountains because you're at a level of freedom and liberty that can move mountains. Amen. But if you can't move these ones in here, then it's very hard to move the ones out here. And he said, you could say unto the sycamine trees, be plucked up. These things are like oak trees. Sycamine has very, very, very deep roots. So being plucked up, sometimes the sycamine root is as tall as the tree itself or as long as the tree. So being plucked up by the root, because sometimes these things have been a part of us so long. So many of them, they were initiated in our childhood. So many things, whether it was abuse in the childhood, improper imaging, it doesn't matter, or you suffer trauma. Trauma. And what happens is, no matter what happens with abuse, trauma, or betrayal, or I could list 1,000 things, but what it does, your soul has an innate ability to protect itself. When too much pain is initiated against your life, the soul will actually begin to raise walls of protection, and it'll protect you. But what happens is those walls come up, and you do too much of that, you actually, sometimes the soul will actually split into an alter personality just to deal with stuff, because it's going to protect. There's only so much your soul can take. And God actually, in some ways, almost designed your soul to be able to when you're in overload motion, just to stop. Amen? And that's why a lot of people, when they're going through massive trauma, a lot of times they'll black out because they can't handle that much. But what happens is, in life, as a childhood or whatever part of life, when you go through these things, when things get locked in, and they can get locked in, it's kind of like a trash compactor. They get locked in, and then once he gets a lock in, the enemy will start feeding that lock in. He'll feed it over and over again, and the soul will start locking it down in layers after layers after layers. And you just learn after a while, I'm just familiar with this thing. This is just what I am, whether it's, you know, whether it's rejection or whether it's fear or it's intimidation. It really doesn't matter. Yes, and so what happens is it pushes down all of that's there, and then we learn to live on top of it. And the Spirit of God will dwell with you and abide with you and work with you and fellowship with you, even with all of the compressed dysfunction. Amen? And so what happens, we have a dysfunctional church at large, globally, that can dwell in the Spirit of God, that can move in the Spirit of God. Because when the Spirit of God actually promotes you, many times he'll promote you knowing with your dysfunction, he'll use you in a state of dysfunction. He'll use you with gifts and operations in a state of dysfunction while you're growing and developing. That was the whole Corinthian model. They're the most carnal of all churches, but that's where the gifts and ministrations were given. Because if God did not use us in our dysfunction, there's not very many people like Chuck, where he's already just so highly advanced in all these areas that, you know, that God can just work with him with anointing without measure. But isn't that awesome that God will use you? That God used me for 20 years, 18 years with some serious issues. Still some serious stuff. I told you in the beginning, I'm a work in progress. It doesn't matter, because sometime along this journey, we all thought we had to be perfect, because that was the original lie. You have to be perfect. You'd be as God. He knows the day you eat of that tree, you'll be as him. You'll be perfect like him. Go ahead and eat. And from then, soon as man ate, man was disconnected with God. And from the disconnection, all the strongholds begin. Amen. Doesn't matter what it is, they begin. You can have compressed anger, and you think anger is your problem, but anger is not your problem. It's something far deeper than anger. Anger is just a fruit. Amen? And so you don't know what's in there until God opens up. It doesn't matter if 100 people shout it to you. Because whatever, if you've been hurt enough in life, or if you've gone through enough in life, you have big old guardians. And those guardians are spirits. And sometimes they'll come in with the trauma or with the betrayals. They'll come in and take camp in your soul. Now, I want to say this, doctrinally speaking, I don't believe in what people would call full demonic possession. I mean, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit cannot be possessed with the devil. Your spirit is made in the class of God. It's been born again, amen. You're not a sinner saved by grace in your new man. Your new man was born again. He was given a transformation life of God, and the devils cannot inhabit a new man. The Holy Spirit, when he's baptized, he is baptized into your new man. That's how he can live with you with all your stuff. Because he's living in a place, even though now with your flesh, your body, your soul, the unregenerated parts of your soul, they didn't get born again. But something did happen that I just found out about in some serious truth. They were buried. They just didn't get born again. I'll tell you about that in a second. Now, because they didn't get born again, they are still subject to the world and its system. And what happens, the soul and the body both can actually be a habitation for God or a habitation for what? Devils. And so what happens, sometimes spirits will come in when things happen. And the enemy likes to do this at childhood phase. He likes to invade the innocence. He likes to get in there and start ramping up his stuff at childhood phase. Why? Because he can get it buried real deep. Very, very deep. You talk to a lot of worship leaders that you don't know this, but a lot of worship leaders, the number one thing that they deal with is homosexuality. And the reason is because Satan used to stand as a worshiper of God. And he wants to pervert the worship and he start turning it to the creation. See, as Romans says, they worship and serve creation. And so what he does is he somehow knows when, I don't know how he knows, but he knows that you've been equipped with certain things in your life. He knows the call of God. He can see it on your life. He may not know the fullness, but he can see it. And what he wants to do is he wants to enter in and pervert that thing quickly. And what he wants to do is plant that stuff early so he can reap a harvest later. And then he plants it. That's why they struggle and struggle and struggle. The bigger struggle gets when they get up into the ministry platforms, because that's when he turns it on. Why? So he can create something where there's a fall. Amen? This happens a lot. It doesn't matter the level of stronghold. So let me get back to spirit, soul, and body for 1 second. Spirit cannot be inhabited. Soul and body can be inhabited by devils. Now, I don't care if you don't believe that or not, but just go pastor for a year and you'll find out there are Christians that can have devils. But they're there and they cause a lot of problems there, but they lock in. They're hidden. They like to hide. They live in darkness. They're super, super, super good at hiding. And when they come in, they can hide for years. Say, how can they hide when I'm Holy Ghost filled? Because you're Holy Ghost filled and you're a new man. And they are compressed in there, and God is not going to open your whole book up before you in 5 seconds time. It takes you a time to move into light. It takes a time to move into glory. There are sins of the flesh. There are sins of the soul. And the only two, I would say, strongholds of the spirit that I know of are false doctrine and idolatry. False doctrine, wrong believing, and idolatry. That's what your spirit can engage in. Before any of you start getting convicted, I have one great word for you. Two great words. Grace and mercy. Say grace and mercy. God, how many believe God loves you? Raise your hand. Okay then. So that'll be good. So if God ever opens these rooms up, remember that he loves you. He loved you a long time before he showed you the problem. Amen. God loved me enough. Even in 18 years of ministry, I was hurting people left and right with stuff that was inside of me. But he loved me all that time. It wasn't that he couldn't try to, he just couldn't get it over to me because I couldn't see certain things. And so there's an operation I want to talk to you about today. It's a big one. It's part of the weaponry of your warfare. The thing about this kind of operation, it is your promotion. Because everybody's sitting there and saying, God, just promote me, promote me. We don't know what God's looking for in the promotion itself. That's the hard part, is we know God can promote us. We know we have a plan. We have a vision. We have a destiny. We have a promised land attainment. And we have all of that, but we don't know what gets us over. Because I was telling some of the guys walking with him, like, well, we went in the Jordan with the promise, standing on the 12 stones. We also went in the Jordan to die. When we went in the Jordan, I started preaching on the Jordan. Man, everything started. I went into this place of baptism with the Lord. It wasn't a joyous baptism. It was a baptism, what he called the baptism of his death. But through that process, there has been some massive amount of transformation. A lot of that even culminated yesterday. It's incredible.
And I want to share some of this with you because if it starts happening, I want you to know what's happening. I want you to know God loves you a long time before he ever starts any of this kind of thing. He loves you for who you are. He loved you while you're a yet sinner. Imagine if he loves you while you're a son. He loves you as a dysfunctional orphan. I had an orphan spirit for 18 years in the ministry. God loved me enough to put me in the ministry as an orphan. 40-year-old orphan ministering, full of gospel. You go through these kind of things with the Holy Spirit and you're thinking, how do you do this? How do you actually walk with us like this? We're going to tell you something. When God opens the door, he's going to open the door to some seriously compressed issues. And when he opens a deep enough door, I'm telling you, it's very hard to get any of these kind of doors open. When he does it, he goes way down into the root system. And you get to look at some things that are incredibly difficult to look at. Because they are you, but they are your old man compressed in an old part of you that hadn't died yet. To begin with, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 3. Tell you the liberty after this. Listen, you can go through 40 years of trials that cannot winnow these things out of you. What he can take out of you in a 2-week time frame is utterly amazing. But you got to be prepared for it. He knows that. Because when he opens a door, you can go wild seeing the kind of things you're going to see. Because all of it gets released. The emotion gets released. The pain of it gets released. The pressure cooker releases. The darkness releases. You see everything. There's some guy who was preaching one time. He says, you know, God doesn't really call us to repent anymore. We're under age of grace. I'm like, dude, if you ever get in front of the winnowing fork, you would change your theology like that. Because when you see things the way he wants you to see it at that time, and he's not going to keep that on you. Trust me, you could not bear it or live there. It's a special time. Rick Joyner called this the judgment seat of Christ. It's there. It's done there. It's done at the throne of grace. It's done by our high priest. It's not done here. He's not going to bring this to you here. That's not going to happen. All of these operations I'm about to tell you about did not happen until we started moving into the right hand of God. Because only then I reached an accountability that caused him to do what he did. And he's doing what he's doing. But he is thorough. True to his word. Amen. Because if you've been stuck in the same place year after year, season after season, to get unstuck, he's going to have to uncap the well. Like Kim was talking about, he's got to remove the rock. And so the waters flow. Because one of the things he does when he does these works, the fountain releases. Because some of this stuff is plugging the fountain up. And that fountain is what God wants to release in the last hour. A wellspring of life coming out of his people to flow into the world. But to do that, he's going to have to set his people free. Amen? And it starts with his leaders. Amen. All right, so Matthew 3, verse 10. It says, now also the act. God has some different words for this. I'll give you the different terminology. One's called the axe. The other one's the two-edged sword. The other one's the winnowing fork. The other one's the knife of circumcision. They're all the same thing. They have different functions. But the Lord is the one that ministrates all of it. He's the only one that can, the only one that will, and nobody else can. Amen? But here's the issue. Now, this is what the Lord told me. He said, my people globally have been stuck in a system for a long time. And they're all reached, so many of the hungry ones have reached the ceiling of the system. How many of you know what I'm talking about? This is where God wants to be, up here, and this is where we are. In the ceiling, he wants to blow that thing out. Amen? To do that, to get his people where he wants us to be, into an age of accountability that can operate under his glory and under his power, the way he wants to give it globally to his people, he's going to have to initiate some seriously deep transformation that's not going to be initiated with a certain level of power the church is working in right now. It's something he's going to have to do. He's going to have to initiate it. Amen? So it says, now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down.
and cast into the fire. And so many people, if you're in Pentecostal holiness or, you know, legalism, or if you're reading the Bible like this, you're thinking he's speaking of a tree as you, a person. He's talking about strongholds here. He's talking about problems, issues, mountains that are going to be moved. He's going to lay the axe to the root of these trees and remove them out of the way. Amen. How do I know that? The next verse. He's going to talk to you about what he's talking about. He says, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he that cometh after me, he's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Say, got that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. It's not that kind of fire, though. There is a fire of the zeal of God that makes you hungry, and you know the term, I'm on fire for God. You need to catch fire. That's talking about being hot for God, being having catch fire, your heart ablaze with God. But that's not the fire he's talking about. This particular chapter is not talking about that kind of fire. It's talking about another kind of fire. It's a fire he initiates. And he needs wood for the fire. So he's got to go get him some wood. Amen? And he's going to lay the axe to the trees. And there's plenty of the stuff to burn there. Amen? So watch this. He says, I indeed baptize you with the water of the repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand. That word fan is called the winnowing fork. Don't you love that word? The winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. Man, that is an understatement. I don't even know if you can have words to describe. And he said, and how does he do this? Gathering his wheat under the garner, and he'll burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. So here's what happens. In this process of the winnowing fork, you have old man, new man, old wineskin, new wineskin, old belief system, new belief systems. And what happens when we reach a certain age or place of accountability in our journey with God, we get to the edge of our promise or edge of a breakthrough or edge of a promotion. The higher the level, the deeper the fork. Write that down. The higher the level, the deeper the fork. The more you want, the more you'll get. The more you want of God, the more you'll get of this operation. You have to, because when you move to the next level in God, that level is going to require a certain level of transformation to do what you're going to do. It's going to require a certain level of light and operation of that, and strength and power and anointings, and certain things have to be moved out of the way, or you'd be fair game for the enemy. Amen? Because at these higher levels, he's super skilled at what he does. Highly skilled. And God wants to prepare his people for promotion. Amen. So he says the winnowing fork is in his hand. Now what he's doing, he says it separates, what a winnowing fork does, it separates the wheat, which is the new man, the new belief system, the regenerated man, the regenerated part of the soul, and he separates the chaff. That's the old man. Old belief system, old thoughts. And when you get in stronghold territory, he's actually will divide that out of you. He'll divide not only the spirits, and many times when he opens these doors, there are spirits involved many, many times. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't say, how could any of this ever live in me? Because they hide, and they can hide for a very long time. They're hiding in a belief system protected by familiarity. They hide way down deep into the soul, protected because they've been compacted down there. And what happens? They create the belief system. They create the actions, the reactions. That's how you can just go ballistic sometimes and say, what happened? Because that area got too compressed and it just got released. Just because you went ballistic didn't change you. You just released something. It's still there. If you go ballistic all the time, you got a lot there. Amen. Praise God. And so what happens is we as society Christian bought the original idea that we have to be perfect. We always think we have to be perfect. We don't want anybody ever to know what's really going on with us. And believe it or not, you don't really need to be advertising all that stuff. Amen.
But sometimes the stuff I'm talking to you about, where the serious promotion is the stuff you can't see. That's the stuff that God wants. Amen? That's the stuff that'll cause you to get promoted when he can get in there. But when he gets in there, it's an operation done or initiated at the throne of grace, done at the throne of grace. And when he begins, he doesn't stop until he gets what he wants. Amen. When I first got seriously exposed to this 3 or 4 years ago, because, you know, even the ministers, a lot of ministers will never, ever talk to you about anything because they don't ever want you to believe they're nothing but perfect. A lot of the real anointed ones will never show you anything but their anointing. You'll never know what's behind them. It'd blow you away if you knew what's behind them. Because they're a minister. The higher the levels, the more you get blown away. They're just people. Amen? We're people with a gift. The more you see, one of the things you'll come out of this is just how great God's grace is to ever have used you in the first place. Even Apostle Paul in all his glory went from the chiefest apostles, am I not the chiefest of apostles, to the least of the brethren, all the way down to the greatest of sinners. He made a progression the other way. You think, well, now he did that because he was constantly in the light of God. And there were times when he was in the light of God, he could see the actual depravity of the human heart. Even all the places you dwelled, God is not going to have you up in a stronghold like this all your life. That's not what he's going to do. These are seasonal issues. You couldn't bear it. He doesn't want you to bear it because he doesn't fellowship with you this level. He fellowship with you where you are because he loves you. But when it comes time to promote you, he's going to open the well. And when he opens, there's some stuff going to come out and you're going to think, how could I do what I do with all that? And there'll be a word that'll come called grace. If you're really going through it, it'll be grace, 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 and more grace. But you'll get a revelation of how much he actually loves you. Because you sometimes literally want to just grind your life to powder when you're in that process. Thank you. But that's just the way it is. I don't want to tell you any different because I have a suspicion that God is going to start opening these realms to his people to prepare us. This is not to expose us. You can believe how much God actually loves us. He'll cover you because he loves you so much. God not want to expose you and embarrass you. He loves you no more than you would want to expose someone you love. He's there to help you. The only time you see God exposing something on a scale is because he's tried to speak and speak and speak and speak and the person just will not listen. It hardens their heart and thinks it's okay to do that. And there just comes a time where it has to be open. That's the only thing that's ever going to change is open it up to everybody. And that's not really what God wants to do. He wants to work this out with you and him. A lot of us, I mean, I know you're sitting up in this church, but a lot of us have some deep stuff, some dark stuff. Skeletons. And sometimes he's got to open that closet up. I know you want a right-handed message, but I'm telling you this is a right-hand message because this happens at the throne of grace. But this kind of stuff can set you free. Because I'm going to tell you, when you stand in front of him, you ain't that tough. Nobody is tough enough to stand in front of his two-edged sword. Nobody. The winnowing fork is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge the threshing floor. When he gets started, when he starts cutting, he sees it as wood, hay, and stubble. Everything, the higher you get, gets subjected to the refiner's fire. If you don't go through this now, I want you to write this down. In your life, all of this will go through the judgment seat of Christ at the end of your life. You'll be judged. Everything will be brought under this kind of refining judgment. It's how he'll purify you. But if it happens then, can't change it, you're locked. That stuff didn't survive the refiner's fire. When you get to heaven, there's no room for promotion at that point. Here, there's room for promotion. Because if he can get it out of the way now, not only can promote you, but you won't be judged for it when you get there because it was already judged. That's the good thing about this. Amen? That's why Paul says it's a light thing that I'm judged of you because I've been judged of the Lord. He goes, your judgment is nothing like his. Now, when I'm saying judge
of the Lord. He's judging the old man, not you. You must differentiate the old and the new. When the Lord judges, He's not judging you as a new man. He's always building the true you in His image. The only time He's judging is something that's not of His image, and wisdom's going to carve out the stone around that image. The winnowing fork's going to carve out that chaff and move it out of the way so He can bring forth the image of Christ. There are times that simple anointings, reading, meditating, fellowship, worshiping, it cannot produce the kind of image. It cannot move strongholds that have been sitting there through familiarity all our life, but that winnowing fork can move it. And when He does, His image is the result of it. His love is the one initiating, and not out of a mean, judgmental God that say, I'm going to carve you down to nothing. That is not the kind of God we serve. He's doing this out of love. He's doing this to produce His image, the image of His Son. He's doing it for eternal reward for you because He wants to position you for eternity in the image of Christ. And when He does it, He's thorough in it. Glory to God. Go to Hebrews. When He starts, you'll beg Him to stop. But I'm going to tell you right now, He won't stop till He's done. When I first went through this, I went through 50 days of it. Well, why did you go through 50 days? Because I had a lot of stuff. The control was deep because a lot of times control is made up of four different strong men. And then that strong man has a host of different operations with it. And God has to divide all of that out. I'm not going to get into you how all that works, but He has to divide all that out to take that down. It's not just one little thing. A lot of times you think it's one that you have to find the strong man, because if you're dealing with the fruits, it won't change you. It's the strong man. What he does is he throws the other stuff up because he likes to hide. But when God is ready to go in, He's going to get the whole tree. Not only is He going to take all, if there's spirits involved, and a lot of times there are, not only the spirits are going to go, but then He's going to come and lift the whole tree out. Can He do that? Yes, He can. Just have to trust me on that. It's intense beyond intense, but the transformation is beyond awesome. Amen? The freedom and liberty is beyond awesome. It's what we want. More than that, it gets us ready for our crown. It gets us ready for our promotion. Amen? It gets us ready to go in the promised land. What'd He do? As soon as they got on the other side, circumcise again the children of Israel. That's part of it. The circumcision is not a circumcision made with hands, the Bible says. It's not a circumcision made with hands. It's a circumcision made with Christ now. I want you to see this. Go to Romans 2, verse 28. It said, He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Wow, that's a pretty big verse right there. Meaning, just because you're born in as a Jew, that's not what God's now looking at. He said, neither is circumcision, just because you've been circumcised as a Jew, that doesn't qualify you, watch this, which is outward in the flesh, but he's a Jew, which is one inwardly, the true. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not of the letter. It's a circumcision by Christ. Go to Colossians really quick. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, the putting off of the body of sin, the sins of the flesh by circumcision, buried with Him in baptism, wherein you were risen with through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of flesh hath He quickened together with Him, forgiving you all trespasses. All trespasses. Notice what He said. The body of sin is dead. It's been buried. The new man has been made alive. Romans says it like this. Said the body of sin is dead. Go to Romans 8. You have to understand what's going on here. Verse 10. Romans 8, verse 10. The Bible says, if Christ be in you, if Christ is in you, raise your hand. If Christ be in you, your body is dead. And your spirit is life because of righteousness. Do you know what he just said there? When you were born again, what happened? You gave your life to the Lord, but all of you, say all of you, went under the water. Went into burial. Romans 6, you were buried with him in baptism. Planted together in the likeness of his death. All of you, every bit of you, was buried. Not just your spirit. Your old man. Why? You were born with an old nature. He had to bury that, right? And so what happens? You were raised together with him in newness of life. Are you ready for this? Every part of you was raised together. You ready? Every part, only your spirit received eternal life. But your body and your soul were raised out of that grave. Hasn't received glorification, but God put a down payment on your body. All right? Go to 1 Corinthians 6. The body's dead. Why is your body dead? He had to declare it dead. Dead from what? The law of sin and death. Every one of us were born with a law of sin and death in our members. Whether you liked it or not, I don't care if you were born in Mary Poppins' family, you're still born with a law of sin and death. Amen? Spirit, soul, and body. When you're born again, all of that was buried. Your spirit came out and was seated with Christ. But God did something. He purchased your body and snatched it out from the law of sin and death. He took your body and your soul and he removed the law of sin and death out of it. He didn't glorify your body yet, but he promised you a glorification. Because had he glorified your body, you couldn't live here. So God put your body in a place between heaven and the grave. But what he did do is he destroyed sin in your body. He destroyed the power. Well, why do I sin? I'll get that in a minute. He destroyed the law of sin and death. He removed it. Not just from your spirit. He removed it from your body. Watch this. You got to know this so you can understand how your authority can work. And how he's going to bury stuff. Amen? This is all legal. A legal issue. With God. How many of you know you can have a truth, you can know something, but it's not manifesting yet? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Know you not that the body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you think the Holy Ghost would be dwelling in a temple with a law of sin and death still living in it? Which is in you, which you have of God, you're not your own. For you're bought with a price. Who's bought? Was it just your spirit bought or? So he paid a price for all of you. What price? With his blood to remove sin and death from all parts. Therefore, because you're bought, glorify God. Say glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Which are God's. Glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your spirit. Which belong to God. Know you not that your members are members of Christ. Your body belongs to him. He paid for it. He broke the law of sin and death over it. It suffered a burial. He brought it out of the burial. It's in a holding pattern waiting to be glorified. But God destroyed the law of sin and death legally. The law of sin and death was destroyed in your flesh. That's why he declared it dead. Because he that died to sin, sinneth no more. Then why am I sinning? Because mainly, we don't yet know just how thorough our redemption was. And what kind of power he gave. Now, this is an interesting thing. See, it's God. So your body's God's. Did he pay for it? You're bought with a price. He didn't say your spirit's bought. He said your spirit and your body are bought with a price. He purchased. If I purchase something, it's mine. If it's mine, it doesn't belong to you anymore. It's mine. So he's saying, listen, I purchased that body from the law of sin and death. I purchased it from an old order and I brought in a new order. It doesn't belong to the old order anymore because it's mine. I want it to go all the way to the next level, but I can't take it all the way to the next level because you got to still live here. And if I glorify your body, you can't live here anymore. You got to go to heaven. So I got to leave you here. So your body belongs to me. You're here. It doesn't belong to the devil anymore. It doesn't belong to flesh. It doesn't belong to the law of sin and death. I broke that barrier. It's like God took your body out of the grave, but it hadn't taken up to heaven yet. But it's out of the grave. And when it went in the grave legally, he destroyed sin. Powerful, huh? Well, why do I still sin? Because you were born in it. You're familiar with it. And that part of you, there's a war that goes on all the time. That's why he said, glorify God in your body. Listen, your body can serve as instruments to righteousness. It can serve as instruments to sin. And your soul and emotions and the strongholds still existing, they'll be warring against you. But what God wants to do with the winnowing fork is clean the house while you're here. This is called his house cleaning anointing. I will clean your house while you're here. Until you get to heaven, I have something I can thoroughly clean the house with. And I can keep you clean. But here's something with the body, because it's here, it still be subjected to this world system. So can your soul, but your body can also be subjected to the anointing. How many can feel the anointing in your body when it's in there? Why? Because your body can receive the anointing. Your body can feel the passions of the world system. Your body's in one of these. Amen. Go to Romans 6. You'll actually appreciate. He can move that stuff out of the way. It's a major source of the frustrations of our life. Man, when he's done, the kind of glory that's a result is just incredible. It's getting us ready for ministry, true ministry, a global ministry of power, great authority. Amen? Anointing without measure. Here's one. I'll throw this out for those of you who can process. He said, if a man will keep my words, him my Father will love, and my Father and I will come and dwell with you in the earth. Man, keep my words, I'll bring you to my Father, my Father will love you. Why did he have to do that? Because he's got to make room for himself. What kind of room is he making? He's going to clear your threshing floor out. And whatever he takes out, God the Father comes and inhabits. And the more God the Father's inhabiting, the more he'll start dwelling with you here, because he'll start owning parts of you that you didn't even know how to give to him. You'll start knowing what it truly means to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, because he'll show you a whole area of your heart that is nothing but lip service. It doesn't matter who can tell you, because you can't see anyway, but when he shows it to you, it's like nothing but lip service, because he doesn't own that part of you. And when he's done, not only did he own the part of you he owns the other part of you too. He owns all of you. Amen. And when he owns all of you, woo, he'll inhabit all of you. So God is stretching forth the curtains of habitation. And sometimes your body and your flesh, and there's old stuff in there that God wants to conquer out of you. Because before we got born again, there was a lot of stuff there. As we get born again, even though he purchased all that, legally he purchased all of it. It belongs to him. They're occupants in the land. That's why when he sent the children of Israel in the promised land, he says, that's your land. That's your promised land. I give it to you. But there's occupants there. But don't worry, I've already defeated them. Just go in and drive them out. You come back, you know, these guys are like five times bigger than me, God. You do understand. It's like, he said, no, don't worry, they're bred for you. Go drive them out. It's yours, because that land's my land now. Your body and your soul is the promised land of God. And there might be occupants there, but they don't belong there. And legally, they have no position there. And once you understand the legal ramification, you can break their legal power to exist and operate within you. And when you do, the winnowing fork will drive them out. But if you're justifying and agreeing with it constantly and hiding it constantly, it'll just stay hidden, justified and agreed with, and they don't have to leave because they're hiding and a lie.
Once you see it, the enemy's power is broken. His lie is broken. He can't hide anymore. And when he can't hide, God will come in and clear the threshing floor.
Romans 6 verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? All of us. Therefore we were buried with him in baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we walk in newness of life. Your spirit, soul, and body are supposed to come out all to walk with him in newness of life. Because all of it was buried. Amen. You can take your body and subject it to a baptism. You can take your soul and subject it to the baptism of Christ. I want you to write this down before I close. The power of his death is just as powerful as the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection is just as powerful as the power of his death. They work both hand in hand. The power of his death is for your old man. The power of his resurrection is for the new man. He has a winnowing fork and a two-edged sword that separates them out, where he can bury the old and lift the new all in a moment's time. He's the only one that can do it. That's why you got to get with your high priest, because he can take the old down and bring the new up. He's the one that separates spirit, soul, joint, and marrow. Has to separate it. Because one of them's got to go down and one of them's got to go up. Amen? Because he wants to conquer us. He wants all of us. He wants to own his purchased possession. He wants to fill his temple in this last day. And he's not going to fill a place that doesn't belong to him. All he can do is operate with the gifts until the day of habitation comes. He has to tear down, stretch forth the curtains of our habitation, and inhabit us. He has to conquer these areas. And he's got some serious weaponry to do it with. Things that you and I are very ever rarely exposed to. But when you do, you'll see how powerful he can thresh that floor and move that stuff out. And then he will occupy it. It's his forever. And you and him fellowship in that place now. Ooh, it's powerful. It's deep. It's thorough. It's awesome. But it's sharp. And it hurts. Man is the glory that comes out of it. There's a level of repentance when you see things like this that you can't put description on. It moves to groanings. It's so deep. The repentance is so deep because you have to see it for that kind of repentance to come. You can't just generate. I could wail all day at the altar. But until he can show that to me like that. But he's showing it to me with a winnowing fork. And when he's doing it, he's cutting it away as a repentance. He's removing it. Cutting it away. Removing it. Cutting it away and offering up to the baptism of fire until that area belongs to him. And when that area belongs to him, he starts the healing balm. And then he starts the inhabitation of that area. He owns that part of you. Now you worship with him with just a little bit more of your heart than you did before. Because every one of us, I said, do you love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, body? Of course we do. But we're in front of him. We find out just how much of us loves him and just how much of us doesn't. It's not that I don't love him. It's just it's not subject to him. It's not subject to him. It does what it wants. It's my free will part that serves other things so freely. I promise you, we cannot reach the kind of perfection he wants to obtain on our own. We can't reach it with the present level of anointings we have. You can't reach the kind of perfection he's looking for. He's going to perfect it. He has the weaponry. It's in the throne of grace. He's the one that's going to exercise it. And man, can we reach levels that he wants to reach in this last hour? He wants to reach levels of glory with us that the early church never reached. He wants to reach an expression of the image of his son in this last hour that only Christ can forge and form in us. And we're not going to do it without engaging in this kind of weaponry. Verse 6, chapter 6 talks about the whole process. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him. Which part of your old man? All of him. Well, how come he's not? Because they're inhabitants, occupants of the land that had to be driven out. I mean, you know, when you were born again, certain things just fell off. Other things didn't. The other things that didn't fall off, the deep-rooted things, they still legally have been buried and crucified with him. Legally, they don't belong there. Legally, they have not power to stay. And when you get a revelation that the stuff you've been contending with and dealing with and constantly going around, you have authority over it, and it does not belong. It has no legal right. And when you discover that legal right and bring it before the throne of grace and break agreement with this legal right, the thing will start melting in front of your eyes. I'm talking about something you've been dealing with 30, 40 years. Our old man's creed, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, what? Is freed from sin. If we be dead with Christ, we believe we also live with him. If you're dead legally, every single sin, every single stronghold has been buried in your body, in your soul, and in your spirit. Your spirit received full glorification already. Your body has a purchase glorification. You're in a holding tank that keeps you in the earth. But legally, that sin does not, or that stronghold does not have the authority to remain operational in your life. And once we understand that and get a full revelation of it, then we can start moving in the realm of the winnowing fork, and he'll start moving the stuff out that's been in the way for a very, very long time. Amen! You got to get a revelation of what he did of his death when he buried all this stuff. I'm telling you, it's buried. It's buried. Say it's buried. The stuff you've been dealing with is buried.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Let me just share. He gave the scripture earlier, just Hebrews. He never said what Hebrews. I was believing it's 4:13, where it says everything is open and laid bare before him whom we have to do. In other words, everything is being seen by him. Every area of our heart is already seen by him. He chooses to love you anyway. He chooses to embrace you anyway. And he chooses to make available to you the throne of grace. And there was a time a few years back where I had this encounter with the Lord. And in this encounter with the Lord, I just showed up in heaven all of a sudden, just wham, and I was there. And I was in the midst of the crowd of witnesses. And as I was in the midst of the crowd of witnesses, I became aware that I was totally naked in front of all of them. And they could all see me and see every issue within me. And at first I crawled up and I was in a ball on that floor right there, and just trying to cover myself in every possible way I could cover. And then I began to realize there was, because they could see everything and they could know everything about one another, there was no guilt, there was no condemnation, there was no judgment in that place. It was just a total freedom. Because they could relate to everything that was in me. They knew why I did what I did. They knew why I was doing what I was doing. They knew everything. And they chose to love me and embrace me in spite of it all. There's no freedom like that. I began to experience a freedom like that that was just so remarkable. I mean, you might have seen me earlier and jumping up like a pogo stick. I was sensing that same freedom coming in here into this room. There's a freedom that's available for us in the place where God has dealt with those things. He just showed it to me prophetically in that moment, but I think it's something he actually intends for us to live in. And with that, let me close with this scripture, Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies a footstool for thy feet. We know he was speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was speaking to you. He was speaking to you. And he's speaking to Christ in you. He will make your enemies a footstool. All you have to do is sit at his right hand. As you sit at his right hand, he will do it. It's not something you created. It's something he did. It's something he delivers you for and he delivers you through. Why? Because it's his good pleasure to do for you. All right. God bless you. We love you.